Question. When you think about the word faith, just that word, faith, what comes to mind? What image does that conjure up inside of your head? I mean, if we're honest, the word itself, faith, sounds like a big, bold, confident word. It makes us think of people that maybe we know who never flinch when life seems to be falling apart. It makes us think of people who raise their hands in worship even when their heart may be breaking. It makes us think about people that we know who say, you know what, God's got this, while everybody else in the room is wringing their hands, shaking in fear. But when it comes to faith, that's not always been my story. And I think if we're being honest, it's probably not always been your story. See, there have been moments, more than moments, there have been seasons in my life, maybe more than I would like to admit, where my faith couldn't be described as big and bold. If I'm being honest, my faith felt brittle, fragile, maybe a little shaky. There have been times in my life where I've prayed, heard nothing. Times where I've showed up to church, stood in front of you, but felt numb inside. Times when I've pleaded with God to show up and to move, and it just didn't feel like he did. It didn't feel like he answered. Have you ever been there? Have you? I mean, have you ever been to a place where you want to believe? You want faith, big, bold, strong, confident, but if you're being honest, your head was spinning and your heart was just tired and weary. Have you ever been there? A place where you tried to trust God's plan, but the weight of the disappointment that you were feeling in a moment felt too much for you to bear. Have you ever been there? Where it felt like you were just barely holding on. And maybe you thought, if just one more thing falls apart, if one more thing happens, if another shoe drops, I'm out. I'm just gonna push away from the faith table and let all of my faith just come crashing to the ground. If you've ever felt that way, you're not alone. You're not. As a matter of fact, you're not a failure. And you're not broken beyond repair. And most importantly, you are no less loved by your Heavenly Father. You're no less loved by Him. You are exactly the kind of person that Hebrews chapter 11, I believe, was written for. And you're who this new series is for. You see, this summer, we are going to walk through a list of people in Hebrews 11. And if you've been in church, many of you are familiar with this list of people. And you've maybe seen them as heroes of the faith, these grand saints of God who did extraordinary things. But the honest reality is that's not the whole picture. That's not their whole story, because if we begin to examine all of the men and women in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll find that all of them were broken, messy, people like you and I. And what we're going to come back to over and over again this summer as we start this new series today, and today is really much more of an overview, a little bit more of an introduction. But what we're going to see over and over again during this series is simply this: that God doesn't use perfect people, full stop. The reason why God doesn't use perfect people is perfect people don't exist. God doesn't use perfect people. He uses people who trust Him, even when it's hard. You see, some of us grew up thinking that faith meant always having the answers, always having the right answers, like it was a test. And if you didn't somehow fill in the blanks correctly, or if you questioned or you doubted or you wrestled with things, that somehow your very faith was invalid. Some of us grew up and we were in environments where church leaders or people that we looked up to as spiritual giants around us would look at us when we're struggling and they would simply say, just have more faith. Just have more faith. That's all you need. Just have more faith. When we were asking questions like, why did I lose my job? Why did I get that diagnosis? Why did my prayer seemingly go unanswered? And maybe over the years, because that's the kind of environment that you grew up in, you've been conditioned when it comes to your struggles and doubts and the wrestling that you go through, that you've been conditioned to just put on a brave face, to just pretend, to smile and say to anyone who asks, I'm fine. How are you doing today? I'm fine. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. When inside, maybe your heart was breaking in a thousand little pieces. See, especially here in our American culture, it's been easy over the years to turn faith into a performance. Because in our culture, we're all about appearances, form over substance. But what we're going to see as we walk through Hebrews chapter 11 is that this chapter actually pushes back against that idea. Again, this faith, this chapter is often called the hall of faith. Isn't a showcase of perfect people. It tells the story of deeply flawed men and women who chose to trust God, even when they messed up, even when they doubted, and even when they ran away. See, this summer we're gonna look at people like Noah, who obeyed God, but later got drunk and disgraced himself. We're gonna study people like Abraham, who trusted God enough to leave home, but still doubted enough to lie multiple times to protect himself. We're gonna look at people like Sarah, who laughed at God in disbelief when God made her a promise, and then laughed again after it was fulfilled. And Hebrews chapter 11, as I've studied it, has led me to ask some questions about faith. Some questions that maybe you've thought, maybe you've been afraid to ask, or maybe you hear the questions that I'm going to ask and you come to a conclusion that, boy, Trent, you really are a mess. But here are a couple of questions that I've wrestled with as we've studied Hebrews 11. I've asked myself this question: what if the Bible's vision of faith is more about direction than perfection? And what if faith isn't the absence of fear, but the decision to trust God even when we are afraid? And another question that I've asked myself, what if the church was the one place where we let people bring their questions, their doubts and their fears and their failures, but we still could look them in the eyes and say, you still belong. You have a seat at the table. You're not disqualified. In the midst of your struggles with your faith, let's walk together until you figure this out. So having said that, if you have a Bible, open to Hebrews chapter 11. If you need a Bible, grab one on your way out. They're at the welcome desk. The verses will be up on the screen as we just, again, look at a couple of introductory thoughts for our series here this morning. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, familiar to a lot of us. The writer of Hebrews says this: now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now let's slow down and just think about a couple of things in this simple verse. That word assurance in the Greek is the word hypostasis. It means substance. Substance, foundation, it means confidence. It's the same word, and we won't turn there, but if you want to put a little note in your margin, go back and look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, and it describes Jesus as the exact imprint. Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature. That same word, hypostasis, means that Jesus is the substance. He is God in the flesh. And so in that way, faith isn't just crossing your fingers and hoping for the best. It's real. It's substantive. It's foundational. Faith is what we stand on when everything around us feels like it's falling apart. It is the foundation that we need in our life. The assurance, the hypostasis, the substance of everything. It says that it's the conviction of things not seen. That word conviction is elenchos, which means certainty, specifically personal certainty. It's not proof in the scientific sense, but it's an inward persuasion, a deep spirit-driven confidence that God's promises are real and that God's promises are trustworthy. See, faith isn't wishful thinking. Faith isn't pretending. Faith is perceiving. It's seeing with our souls what our eyes can't yet see. I like what one commentator, Marvin Vincent, said. He said this, that faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on that fact, and then that next statement, acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems to contradict it. That's faith. It made me think about something that we've taught about faith for years here at Zion. For years, when describing faith or defining faith or helping you to have an image of what faith is, some of you can probably quote this, right? Faith does what? It acts like God. Anybody? Oh man, I haven't taught it enough. Faith acts like God tells the truth. That's what faith is. Faith acts like God tells the truth. It doesn't deny reality. Faith doesn't deny difficulties. Faith doesn't deny seasons where we're just wondering what's going on. But faith trusts that God is greater than whatever the reality is that we're facing in our life, that he can be trusted. Faith acts like God tells the truth. And then in verse 2, the Hebrew writer says this, "For by it the people of old," again, he's referring now to the people that we're going to learn about and study in coming weeks, "for by it the people of old received their commendation." For by it, for by what? For by faith. The men and women that we're going to study this summer weren't commended because they were flawless. They were commended because in the spite of the circumstances of life, in spite of the task that they were given, in spite of what God told them that may have seemed unbelievable, they continued to trust. And again, we're going to see this again and again and again. Broken people with bold faith. Broken people with bold faith can be used by God. And as a pastor, that's what I want for you. I don't want you to be broken. I know that you're broken. And you know that I'm broken. But what I dream and what we want to dream together about as a church is that in spite of our brokenness, if we can somehow decide to trust God, if we believe that faith in God is what we need to have, if we begin to act in our lives like God tells the truth, then God can use us in ways that we'd never thought imaginable. To do things beyond our own ability, beyond the scope of our own vision. But before we get to any list of the faithful people that we're going to look at, before we meet Noah, Abraham, Sarah, or Moses, the writer gives us a different kind of example that we need to always keep in mind. Look at what verse 3 says. He says, "By faith we," now the Hebrew writer is not talking about them, he's talking about us, and anybody who reads these words, "by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Again, this is not a science statement. This is a faith statement. It's a foundation statement. What the Hebrew writer wants us to remember is this, that faith does not begin with us. It begins with God. See, faith is not somehow something that rises from within us, where we have to muster up the faith, where we have to muster up a certain amount of faith. Faith begins with understanding who the focus of our faith really is. It's God. Faith begins with the God who speaks galaxies into existence. Faith begins with the God who makes something out of nothing. Faith begins with a God who forms beauty out of chaos. Faith begins with a God who brings light out of darkness. So again, before Noah builds an ark, before Abraham leaves home, before Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt, there was a God who created. There was a God who acted. And there was a God who spoke. So maybe this morning, if he can do all that, and he can, and he did, he can do something with your nothing. Because that's where some of you are at today. You think I have nothing because I am nothing. I have made a mess out of my life. My faith is in shambles. There's nothing but chaos when I think about my world. Well, guess what? God took the chaos of nothingness and formed the world that you and I enjoy today. Maybe your faith, your doubts, your faith seems small and your doubt seems too big. But here's my encouragement. And I think this is the invitation of Hebrews 11. It's simply this. Come to God anyway. Come to God anyway. It's okay. Bring your shaky faith. Bring your questions. We just asked a bunch of questions in our last series. Can I ask that? Bring your story. Why? Because faith doesn't require perfection. It requires direction. The focus of your faith is way more important than the amount of your faith. The focus, the direction that your faith is focused on is way more important than the amount of your faith. And my prayer for you is not that you'd have everything figured out, but even when you don't have everything figured out, you can still look to heaven and say, God, I'm going to trust you, because that's where my faith is directed. My faith is directed upward, not inward. It's hard, but I'm going to keep looking to you. I'm going to keep coming to you. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Where do you need to trust God right now? Where is your faith just a little bit shaky? What promise of God are you tempted to give up on? What prayers have you stopped praying? What act of obedience are you delaying because you're just not sure how it's going to work out? You're not sure that this step of obedience really makes sense for your life right now. Because something about faith that we need to understand is that faith takes the next step. That's it. It just takes the next step. Faith doesn't have the next mile mapped out. It doesn't have to figure out what's over the bend, or what's up around the corner. Faith doesn't need to see the destination. Faith just says, I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to do the next thing that I believe God asks me to do because I believe that he tells the truth. I'm going to act like God tells the truth. Even if that step is a small step, even if it's a Kmart step. Do you know what a Kmart step is? Do you know what a Kmart step is? How many of you remember shopping at Kmart? And you'd go to the shoe department and you'd buy a pair of shoes, but what were they always? They were always connected. So you put those shoes on, you try them on, but that's all you could do. That's a Kmart step, right? Even if your faith, it's just a Kmart, it's just a baby step. I'm not taking a big step, but I'm going to keep stepping. Or maybe your step is, you got to step and there's going to be a limp involved, right? But you're still taking that next step. Even if you're not sure how it's going to work out, take the step anyway. Why? Why do I want you to take the step anyway? I'm glad you asked. We're going to jump down and look at verse number 6. The Hebrews writer says this, and here's why you need to keep stepping. Acting like God tells the truth. The Hebrew writer says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. That's Hebrews 11, verse 6. Let me read it again. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And again, this is a verse most of us have heard it before, but we maybe misunderstand it. The emphasis isn't that you have to earn God's approval through perfect faith. It's that it's faith that pleases him, as imperfect as it may be. As imperfect as it may be, that God is pleased with our faith, not with our performance. He says it's believing that he exists, that God is real. And I think you're probably in this room because you believe that God exists, right? As Christians, that's pretty foundational. We have no problem believing that he exists, but it's also believing that he's good. And that he rewards those who seek him. So we can say it this way. The question this verse is really asking is this. Do you believe that God is both real and worth seeking? And that's a little bit harder. The first one, that's easy. But do we really believe that he's worth seeking? Pursuing. Sacrificing to know him, sacrificing to be close to him, sacrificing to be in step with his plan for your life. Again, as we start this series, where are you at in your faith journey today? And again, I'm not talking about the version that you present on Sunday mornings, because we can all put on a brave face on Sunday mornings. I'm talking about the honest version. The quiet version, the late at night, eyes wide open because I can't sleep version of your faith. Where are you struggling to believe? Where does your faith feel a little bit fragile? What promises do you want to trust, but somehow you've given up hope and you're afraid to hope again? Again, we're going to see this. We're just giving you an overview where we're going. Hebrews 11 isn't calling you to have it all together. It's easy to read this chapter in the scriptures and see these larger-than-life superhero stories and say, well, I would never. I can never. But we're going to come back to all of their brokenness every week because that's a part of their story as well. But in spite of their brokenness, they still trusted God. So again, we're going to challenge this mindset. The mindset that says, well, my faith just isn't strong enough. And because of that, I can't please God. And let me remind you, it's not the strength of your faith that matters. It's the strength of your Savior. He's the focus. It's not my faith, it's what I put my faith in, who I put my faith in. That's what matters. Because God isn't going to measure you by how steady your faith looks. He's going to invite you to trust him no matter how unsteady your faith may feel. Maybe this morning all you have is a mustard seed of faith. If I remember correctly, Jesus one time said that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. That's not a lot of faith to do something pretty incredible. Maybe all you can pray is, God, I believe, help my unbelief. I seem to recall the story in the gospel of a father who wanted Jesus to heal his son. And that was his honest confession. I believe, but help my unbelief. He still had doubts, but Jesus says, I'm going to heal him anyway. Maybe your act of faith is just presenting yourself to God, just showing up. And again, that counts. God, I'm here. I don't even have words, but I'm here. I'm presenting myself to you. That matters. So again, let's pull this out a little bit and ask us as a church. I always want us to think not just about the personal implications of a passage of scripture. I want us to pull back and think about the corporate implications. What does this mean, or what could it mean for us as a church? What kind of church do we want to be? Because we could be a church, we could be a community of believers where people only feel safe if they have all the right answers. And I don't want to be that kind of church. I don't want to be a part of that kind of church. Because no church, as much as they think they have all the right answers, really has all the right answers. But we could try to be that. Or we could be a church where people feel safe enough to ask hard questions. And by God's grace, that's the kind of community I believe that we have here and that we want to continue to build. We could pretend that faith always looks bold and unshakable. Now let me just pause right here. I love it when we can take bold steps of faith, individually and corporately, right? I love it when people step out in faith and start new adventures, when people take steps that are difficult to lead and serve in ways that maybe they've never done before, when people take steps that communicate, I'm acting like God's telling the truth and I'm doing this. I love it when I see it individually, and I love it when we can take bold steps corporately. But make no mistake about it. If we individually are limping, if there are seasons when corporately we're limping, and we've had seasons where corporately as a church we've limped, we've just kind of limped. Individually, seasons when we're wrestling, corporately when we're wrestling, individually when our faith begins to whisper, God, are you still there? Corporately, when we wonder, God, are you ever going to move again? Are you ever going to bless again? Are you ever going to act in ways that just blow our socks off again? Or are we just going to be a church that kind of goes through the motions? I'm so thankful for what God is doing in your individual lives. And I'm thankful for what God is beginning to stir again, I believe, corporately, in and through this church family. I am grateful for it. And I just want to stay out of God's way. I want to continue to point us to the God who acts on his character, on his promises, on his nature. We just have to be willing to trust. So this summer, as we meet people who build boats when there wasn't any rain, as we meet people who left their homes with no idea where they were going, as we meet people who waited years, decades for God's promise to be fulfilled, as we meet people who walk through waters and walls and wilderness seasons, I want us to remember these were broken people, messy people. But they all had one thing in common: faith. And it was more than just a catchphrase for them. It was more than just a happy sticker that they would slap on every week. I have faith. No, this was assurance that these men and women had that God was telling the truth. And because they believed God was telling the truth, they acted. They took a step. They moved. And then God showed up. My prayer is over this summer, you'll see yourself in some of these stories. And that you'll leave encouraged, because if God can use that broken person and that messy person and that flawed individual, I want you to leave believing, you know what? God can use me. God can use me to make a difference in my family. God can use me to make a difference in my workplace. God can use me to make a difference in my neighborhood. God can use me to make a difference in my community. God can use me to make a difference in the world. And we don't ever, we'll never have the luxury of having our names written in the scriptures. That's done, that's over, right? But we can still become people who, because of who we follow, because of who we trust, because who we believe, God can do extraordinary things through us. I believe that. I want that for all of us. If he worked through their flaws, he can work through yours. If he commended their faith, he will honor your faith. So again, as we start this series, don't wait until you have it all together to act. Don't wait until you understand everything to move. Just step. Just step. Bring your faith, no matter how fragile it is, and trust that God is strong enough to hold that step. Let's be the kind of church that trusts God in the middle of our mess. God allows us to struggle. He's okay with the struggle, but he wants us to struggle with a kind of faith that just never gives up. That just never gives up. So as our worship team comes this morning, what's your next step of faith? Maybe it's to believe again. Maybe you're here and you've just kind of chalked it all up and you're like, you know what? This is just bonkers. Maybe it's to believe again. Maybe it's to pray again. Maybe it's to obey again. Maybe it's to be honest with God and say, God, I'm willing. I just don't know how to take the next step. So let me give you some practical things to do. We'll put it up on the screen. Write it down. Number one, name your faith challenge. You have to be able to pinpoint, this is what I'm being challenged with. Write it down. Be honest with God with your struggle. And then the second thing is ask God to meet you there. Because he already is there, right? But to say, God, would you just meet me? I'm being honest. This is where my struggle is. Would you meet me there? Offer the struggle to him. But then, and here's the hardest part, is talk to someone. None of us were meant to do life alone. The journey of a Christian begins as a personal decision. We personally have to make the decision to follow Jesus. But we're never called to live out that decision in isolation. We're never called to live that out alone. And so my challenge to you this week, as you begin to think about this new series, is to talk to someone. Share what you've named, that struggle, with someone in your D group, with someone in your life group, with somebody on your ministry team, with somebody that you trust, a friend here at church, or somebody in the community. You do not have to walk this thing out by yourself. Because the good news is this: God doesn't wait for you to be flawless. He meets you in your brokenness. And when your faith is fragile, he is still faithful. When your faith is fragile, remember this, he is still faithful. So let's take that next step together as we move in toward this summer series. Let me ask you to bow your heads, and I'm going to pray for you. Today, how many of you would be honest and say, hey, there's a part of my faith, you're hitting on the head, Trent. There's something that I'm struggling with, and I'd just love for you to pray for me. Anybody? We're not even being super specific. I've got some struggles in my faith, and I just need you to pray for me. Anybody, hold your hands up. I'll just pray for you. Okay, I will pray for you as we begin to respond. As we respond, and we say this every week, but I say it because it matters. This isn't just an add-on to the end of a service. This is created. This moment corporately is created for you to continue to wrestle with what you've heard the Spirit of God through the Word of God say to your heart. And if today God is saying something to you about your faith, where you're at, and you need to have somebody pray with you, if you just want to come and kneel and pray, we'll have somebody come and pray over you. If you want to tap somebody on the shoulder and say, would you pray with me about something? We want to be able to do that. We've got one this morning that has already, you know, requested that we pray. Our friend Kaya is facing some surgery this week, and so the family has asked us to pray. And so when we begin to sing, I'm going to have them come and just kind of kneel, and we'll pray specifically for Kaya and a major surgery that she's facing this week. And again, as God is moving you, I'm just asking you to respond, whatever that looks like. Father, we love you. Thank you for the day. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. And God, I pray that you would move in our hearts in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing together.